The Nonprofits. Austin and five friends gather at the acclaimed Dillahunty International Studios on the 18th of October, 2008. Host Dennis Lubé, media mogul Matt Dillahunty himself, famous playboy Russell Glasser, and international heartthrob Schilling open the show with a hearty, "And we are the Nonprofits."
It's wonderful to see all the little people today.
All to the musical stylings of Gnarls Barkley and his orchestra with "Crazy Ha-Cha-Cha." And where do these snappy fellows get their mojo? Why, from the Atheist Community of Austin, that spunky nonprofit educational organization for the promotion of positive atheism and the separation of church and state. And if you're like me, you'll want to know more by calling their voicemail at 512-371-2911 or visiting www.atheist-community.org. Austin. And where are all these smiling citizens rushing off to? Why, it's the Atheist Community of Austin Happy Hour. There's food and drinks aplenty for thirsty freethinkers at 7 on Thursday evenings. Watch out, girls. These eggheads are on the prowl. Austin and the Nonprofits broadcast live every other Saturday from 2 to 3:30 Central Time. What's that, you say? You want to participate in the show? Just follow the directions at www.nonprofitsradio.com. and visit the chat room. Bring the whole family. So, if you're like this reporter, you'll join the thousands of others glued to their radios every other Saturday to listen to these plucky pugilists give those religious rascals a black eye. Look out, Jesus. It's the Nonprofits.
See, and this is where it would have been really good to have, like, an applause.
Yes,
hey.
Well, there's my movie tone intro.
Yes. So have we moved completely away from logical fallacies and gone to, like, propaganda?
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah. Spin? I may, you know, I'll dip back into logical fallacies.
Running out
a good
of them,
one,
huh?
But
see, that's the
I
thing.
I liked being introduced as a playboy.
Anything goes, I say.
Well, that's the thing. The atheists are going to run out of logical fallacies long before the theists are. So.
I'm amazing I got through that. That was pretty good.
Yeah, I liked it. I don't know what announcements we haven't hit yet, though, but I'll go ahead and annoy all the people who aren't living in Austin, who don't get to participate in all of our fun stuff by telling them what all's coming up. Next Saturday, we are scheduling a trip to the Hell House outside of Dallas. What's the name of the town?
Cedar Hill.
Cedar Hill. It's like the original documentary Hell House.
Not the original Hell House, but the one that was in the documentary.
Ah.
Yeah, the original, you know, was Falwell's back in the early 70s, I think.
Why am I not surprised? So, yeah, we're planning that. Meeting at 2 o'clock at the Alamo Draft House up by Lake Creek Parkway. Same as last year, only I think we're leaving like a half hour earlier.
Right.
Yeah. So we'll meet up there. Anybody in the Austin area? If you're outside of the Austin
area.
Or in
the Dallas area as well.
Yeah, if you're outside the Austin area and you still want to get up there, we're planning on getting there 5:30-ish, 6-ish.
I don't recall when we got there last year. I think we got there around 7 last year, actually.
Yeah. So we'll drive faster and leave earlier. But anyway, yeah, you can meet us up there. Those of you who want to meet up at the Lake Creek Parkway, we'll sort out some carpool stuff for those who are going so that we can, you know, maybe save some money on gas. The big thing, though, is that next Sunday is going to be an insanely busy day, at least for me and probably for some other people. That next Sunday is the Texas Freethought Convention here in Austin. It's a collection of all of the, or as many of the atheist groups and organizations in Texas that we could get together at one place. It's at Schultz's Beer Garden down on 6th Street. And damned if I didn't forget the web address and all that good information. But you know what? There's a link up from the Atheist Community of Austin website. So go to atheist-community.org. There's a link to the convention.
Isn't it a big insult to have it on Sunday?
Yeah, actually. And they're having, like, de-baptisms.
Cool.
And a bunch of speakers. I'll be speaking for maybe 15 minutes or so before I head off to do the TV show. So, yeah, I've got a full Sunday tomorrow. We're doing the next pub crawl on November
8th,
which is a Saturday. And if that's not a Saturday, then it's the Saturday closest to the 8th, just in case we got it wrong. Details will be coming up soon. I think we're still planning right now to meet up at Dog and Duck.
Right.
Since we're regular fixtures at the Dog and Duck.
We are. So. And, you know, you can park there, which... Yeah. Gives it a leg up over most of the bars we'll be going to.
Yeah, so for those people who would be worried about parking downtown, we've kind of got that sorted. But be prepared to walk. Bring a scooter if you need to.
Have a caravan of rascals going down the street from bar to bar.
In our black godless pub crawl t-shirts. Looking for the Ray Comfort clones that were out there last year to give me $1 million bill and argue with me so long that I didn't get to even go to Darwin's Pub.
Well, you didn't miss anything.
Yeah, sure. What else is going on?
I have no idea.
Screw it. Let's get to business.
All right.
What do we got?
Well, let's see. We're in the issue of news. Not a whole hell of a lot happened in this last 2 weeks.
Yeah, nothing happened. I mean, there's only a big fucking election coming up, and people are saying things
well,
that are more
yeah,
stupid
yeah,
every day.
Yeah, crazy, crampy shit for the election. But, you know, the rest of the world... Well, they do actually kind of care, I guess.
I'll tell you what's up with regard to the election.
What's that?
The Atheist Community of Austin released the early voter edition of its voter's guide.
Uh-huh.
And we sent out a press release, and it was picked up at least by the Dallas Morning News and a few blogs. There's some other sites and newspapers that hopefully will be running it soon.
Good.
We sent out like 482 surveys to candidates running for office in all of the elections, or well, not all the elections.
Not judges.
Damn near every election that Texans will be voting on. So mm-hmm. we hit the major national elections, president, vice president, you know, senators, representatives, and then also the state elections that Texans were going to be voting on. We got 50 responses. The responses are posted. If you go to atheist-community.org/political/votersguide,
cool.
You can get it. There's a link right from the front page if you don't want to have to type that much.
All right.
50 responses. Only one for the presidential race, and that was Ralph Nader. 90% of the responses were libertarians, and right. I won't be commenting on any of the actual,
of course not,
responses right now. We'll wait till after the election and then talk about, you know, what kind of responses we got and what we thought about them. But the information's up there for anybody, atheist, non-atheist, Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, Independent, Green, Socialist, Communist, whatever affiliation you are, it's up there. Maybe it'll help you decide who to vote for or to right. avoid voting for.
Well, to say something about the particular results we got just in general, there's a lot of things that were surprising, like combinations of responses, particularly.
Yeah, but I don't want to get into this because then we're getting
Well,
really
I don't want to get into them in detail. I just, you know, I think it's good that we did the voter guide because you can hear a candidate say something along the lines of, I support church-state separation. And they won't really go into detail. And with the voter guide, you have where you can see on very specific issues where a candidate stands. Mm. And so it's very helpful in nailing down, like, if you have different priorities for church-state separation, finding a question that aligns with those and seeing how the responses are.
Yep.
Yep. Can I assume that you thoroughly checked out the legal issues involved with releasing this thing? I mean, I know you say it's okay to do it as long as we're not endorsing candidates.
Of course it's okay to do it.
Right. Okay.
And other organizations and nonprofit organizations do this all the time.
Yeah.
It's a nonpartisan, straight up, here's the questions, here's their responses, no input from us, you vote for whoever the hell you want.
So vote early and vote often.
It's not only okay, I'd encourage it. And that's one of the things that we're going to be talking about at the Texas Freethought Convention is, you know, you've got national groups, mm-hmm. American Atheists, CFI, Atheist Alliance International. I'm sure I'm forgetting some. And they're good at certain things.
Freedom From Religion Foundation.
Freedom From Religion Foundation. Yes, that's who I was forgetting. They're good at certain things. What they're not particularly good at is building communities and within a local environment, you know, giving people a place to socialize, promoting education, and kind of getting some activism out. Screw it. Works good enough for me.
Right.
That is where our group is slightly different. We fill a completely different niche. We don't have to do the same things that we don't have to necessarily have a big conference. We're having these other groups in Texas are putting together this kind of local conference. But getting together and building kind of grassroots organizations is a good thing. And we have people write us all the time and say, you know, what is there a group in my area or how should I go about starting one? And sometimes we, you know, we'll give some information back about how the ACA was started and things they might want to look into. And evidently we're complete fucking morons when it comes to giving advice in this area.
Oh, cool.
How's this for a build up, Lee? So, Lee, a wonderful new friend of ours who has formed the atheist community of Topeka, happens to be in town today and sitting right here, and I thought we'd take a little time to let him talk about his thoughts, what he did, how he formed the group, and what kind of things they're doing. That way, you get ideas for how to do this from people other than us, because none of us started this group.
Right.
Yeah, you got to get pretty close to Mike. So welcome, Lee.
All right. Hey. Well, thanks, Matt.
Hey. Woo.
Yeah. I wasn't quite expecting this when I first sent you the email, but it just kind of worked out this way. But yes, about a year and a half ago is when I first wrote you a letter, just kind of asking for advice, which you get letters like that all the time, and you didn't give me great advice. But
and I usually put that warning right up at the front, and
you always have the disclaimer. Oh, I wasn't here when the group started, so don't expect much. And which was good. But what I did was I started to look at what other groups were doing, you know, what the group you were doing here in Austin.
Right.
I mean, and you announce it every week to everybody.
Yes.
Some people.
Just to annoy the hell out of those people who wrote and said, would you please stop that?
But looking to see what you did and what other groups in the country were doing. And I really liked the way that you do things down here in Austin. Just the balance that you have between all of the different social events and then your monthly lectures. So you have a little bit of for everybody. And so then, you know, what I did was, you know, I put an ad in the paper. I started a group on meetup.com. And first meeting was a year ago in October. And we had 7 people show up, you know, which was pretty good in Topeka, Kansas. But, you know, that was me, my wife, friend of mine, but there were 4 new people.
That's a start.
Yep, and at that core.
But it started slow. But as we started building more members, since then we've had. I started getting lectures after the first of the year. We've had a biology professor come talk about evolution for Darwin Day. Had a physics professor come over talk about the Big Bang, the history of the universe. Had somebody come talk about Hinduism. Had a religious studies professor that came and talked about cults in America. And it's just, it's been great. And the social events we've had have just been wonderful. We've had, you know, parties. We went to a group of us went to a Creation Truth seminar at one of the local churches. Kind of snuck in and listened to them talk about dinosaurs being on Noah's Ark. And it was that was a good time.
So I'm curious because I don't remember. What advice did we give? Because that seems to be the 2 bits of advice that we would normally give, which is our group started with an ad in the newspaper, and you should check online sources like meetup groups and Yahoo stuff. So what did I say to do?
Well, that's what you said.
I thought.
You said,
The key here is not that I gave bad advice, but that you took what little was there and actually put it into practice and found other things to do in addition that would draw people in. And that's the the good thing. So major applause to you, sir. So see, my advice is flawless. It's the implementation that's the problem. But it's great. And you're not the only one who's done this. There are some other groups, and I don't have them all listed now because we just haven't got around to it, that have formed, you know, atheist community of such and such. And some of them have, you know, actually gone in and filed for nonprofit status and used the ACA's constitution as kind of a guideline on how they might want to do things, which is nice because it'll save you some of the lawyer fees that we had to do in order to put this thing together. But the big thing is to, I guess, do whatever it takes in your area, and it's probably going to be different from area to area, to get people involved, find out who's interested in doing what, and don't be afraid if there's six or seven people who show up and there's a constant fall off. You get three or four new people and three or four people disappear, because from what I've seen, that seems to be just the way things go. You get a core group of people who are involved all the time. You get some new people showing up and participating, you know, gung-ho for a little while, and then it might trail off. And some people are you know, four or five times a year folks. You can't be everything to everybody, but I guess the only option is to try. So we're glad that Lee came up today, and he's going to stop by the Atheist Experience show tomorrow as well, I think, right?
Yeah.
And we'll he'll get to see me rant in person, although he actually won't have to wait that long to hear me rant in person. And matter of fact, right. I think this is probably going to promote tons of discussion and ranting from all of us.
Oh, boy. All right.
I can't wait.
Might I just recommend reading it all the way through before going step by step.
Okay.
Just so it has the full impact.
All right.
Yeah, all right. I'll read it all the way through once, and I won't pause too much for the groans that I know are coming. This, somebody brought this to us. It's the University Star, which is the paper for Texas State University in San Marcos. To be completely fair up front, this is in the opinion section. So they published somebody's opinion, and I'm not faulting the paper for that. As a matter of fact, I applaud them for printing people's opinions. I'm particularly happy that they printed this person's opinion, because it gives us an opportunity to point out the various misperceptions that there are about atheism and the rampant ignorance and logical fallacies when people begin to talk about stuff they don't understand.
Since you asked, I looked up Tristan,
Watson.
Tristan Watson on the internet, found the article that you're about to read, did not find any indication as to his or her gender, but I feel confident from Googling Tristan that it's usually a guy's name.
Okay.
And I have 7 comments at the end of the post, which are all negative.
I'd imagine. And one of my plans is, assuming I get time, I'm going to see if I can write a response and see if the University Star will print it with the same number of column inches and stuff that they gave to the initial one. So here we go. This was written by Tristan Watson, and we're going to guess that it's
a
guy.
Breath.
War, crime, drugs, economic downfall, and poverty are a few of the problems we face in today's society. Where would someone find peace and contentment with troubles in our world? Some find it through family and friends, while others through the love of God. People in society who believe God doesn't exist take a radical approach as to dealing with religious issues. The lack of belief in God is
known. Dennis, hold me back.
The lack of belief in God is known as atheism. I find it peculiar how the atheistic ideology promotes denying God but has no solid evidence to disprove the existence of God. There are smart people in this world who know man did not create the world, sun, moon, and stars, nor give humans the breath of life. According to a recent report conducted by Pew Forum on religion and public life, 92% of U.S. residents believe in God or a universal spirit, and atheists only consist of about 4% of the population. Atheism may be a minority in our society, but there are still organizations that seek advocating the belief God is not real, such as the Atheist Community of Austin.
Hey.
They're a nonprofit educational corporation used to develop and support the atheist community and encourage positive atheist culture. There are those who worship and depend on God in their everyday life, and to know there is an organization trying to refute the being of God is utterly disappointing.
Utterly disappointing?
Denying the existence of God is saying this world is the work of some other being, and that is not the case.
What?
Atheists choose not to accept God because they believe they make their own destiny, and trusting in prayer and having dependence on God is not how they want to live. Some believe God to be a mythical character, and others may have lost their faith and stopped believing. Atheism is a choice, and this philosophy of having no God diminishes the foundation on which our country was built. The Atheist Alliance International states that they focus the power of diverse independent groups to facilitate common purposes and give atheism a growing voice in public affairs. The Alliance said they can persuade legislators and educate the public with a nationwide united effort to recognize the threats to freedom from basing laws and policies on religious doctrine. That's the best fucking paragraph so far. The goal is to establish strong democratic atheist organizations in every state and worldwide. I hope this day never happens. Pushing the idea there is no God is morally and spiritually wrong. Atheists know in their hearts there is a God, so they work extra hard to endorse the notion he doesn't exist. It may help some atheists get through life, not worrying about Judgment Day, heaven and hell, but those who believe in God and the Bible know the truth. God is not a mean and unfeeling spirit seeking to harm the world, as some may believe. Atheism should not be embraced because the last thing we need is more negative energy in our society. Dependence on God is how individuals cope with the problems of the world, and having committees or alliances trying to dispel their belief shouldn't be allowed. God does exist, and it's up to each individual to accept him.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Whoa. So much wrong, so many levels.
Actually, although this article made me angry when I started hearing it, I liked it.
I love it.
And I'll tell you why. That is, first of all, that is the first negative article that ever targeted us directly by name that I know of.
Yep.
The arguments in there, to the extent that there were any, were completely ineffective, and they put out the mission statement of our group and this Atheist Alliance International mm-hmm. group. And just as in advertising, they say that when you mention the name of your competitor, you help them.
Bingo.
I think this was nothing but a straight-up benefit to our group.
Yeah. I mean,
well, you didn't read the title, which is also fantastic.
Oh, I'm sorry. Atheism Alliances Dispel Others' Choices.
What?
That's the title.
Boy.
Yeah, I missed the part where they had, where he actually made that case.
Yeah. So,
we dispel choices, but they get to tell us what we actually secretly believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So, where would somebody find peace and contentment with troubles in our world? Some find it through family and friends, while others find it through the love of God.
How about solving it?
Yeah, that's the beginning.
How about working towards solving it? That would be a good idea, wouldn't it?
Well, I'm in agreement here with Tristan. Some do find the peace and contentment through family and friends, and others find it through the love of God, their love of God, whether he exists or not. Okay, I'm fine with that. I'd rather they didn't.
Yeah,
I'd rather they do something. Embraced reality and tried to work for changes, but they're entitled to their beliefs, just as I am. And
they're perfectly welcome to do absolutely nothing.
So then you've got people in society who believe God doesn't exist take a radical approach as to dealing with religious issues. Really?
It depends. I mean, radical is
depends on what radical
a subjective means, enough word that, I mean, it's not necessarily even positive or negative in that sentence.
Well, we haven't burned anybody at a stake.
Yeah, maybe radical's fine, but extreme might be too extreme.
We haven't flown any planes into buildings.
Yeah. I'm going to pretend that he means radical in the 80s Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle sense.
Radical, dude. The lack of belief in God is known as atheism. Hey, there's a sentence in here that's absolutely correct.
The chat room was agog at that also. Amazed.
But then he does equate that with belief to the contrapositive.
Yeah, yes. Then denies it later on.
Yeah. So
that's a big fancy word there.
I find it, yes. Thank you for the $4 word for today.
Nice little contradiction.
I find it peculiar how the atheistic ideology, okay, pause. there is no ideology.
No, you just said it was a lack of.
Yeah.
A belief.
I find it peculiar how this promotes denying God. Okay, there's a bit of a debate about whether or not denying God is an accurate way to put it. I'm actually fine with that because there are a number of definitions for denying.
and I deny that the case for God has been made, and therefore I deny that this God exists until I'm presented with it. But it's not a closed-minded, absolute certainty. Yeah. But I, you know, promotes denying a God, but has no solid evidence to disprove the existence of God.
And we don't have to.
Woo, yeah.
Burden of proof lies with the people.
Tristan, you Bible-believing moron, please submit your evidence to disprove the existence of every other God that's not yours.
Right.
Then I'll reconsider that sentence. Enough said. There are smart people in this world who know man didn't create the world, sun, moon, and stars, nor give humans a breath of life. Hey, guess
what? Pretty much all of them.
Yeah, there are smart people in this room who know that man did not create the sun, moon, stars.
Yep.
I would like to meet somebody who thinks that man did create the world, sun, moon, and stars.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be odd.
Boy, that's probably...
Mormons, maybe. They get their own universes, right?
That's true, something like that.
There's this grand irony here that one of the dumbest possible sentences is actually 100% correct. Then there's the talk about the Pew Forum Research.
Well, there's a fallacy, like it seems like an assumed negative or something.
Yes.
But I don't know what the name of that is.
The implication due to the tone of the article, but yeah, I don't know what the hell it is. It's stupid is what it is. And we're not saying Tristan's stupid. Tristan may be very smart and just
Tristan's a fucking
just
moron.
Sucks at writing.
And just saying that Tristan may be saying some stupid things. Then he talks about the Pew Forum. 92% of people believe in God, and atheists consist of about 4% of the population. Okay, I'm fine with that. I'm actually happy with the ones that say 4% because some of the others actually would like list atheists as less than 1%, but then put the non-religious secular people up to as high as 13 or 14%.
Yep.
The 92% that believe in God, I've seen statistics that show closer to 80, but you know it doesn't matter what the numbers are, and that's the point that's coming up in just a second. Sit tight, Tristan. We're getting to that. Atheism may be...
He's totally listening.
Oh, he will be, because I'll be sending his ass the link, or her ass the link. Atheism may be a minority in our society, but there are still organizations that seek advocating the belief God is not real, such as the Atheist Community of Boston. Actually, that's not what we're advocating.
No.
But even if we were...
Yeah.
So what?
Yeah. Even if the Atheist Community of Boston was full of strong atheists... who were actually
it would still be our right to do so.
That we were at what we are advocating is the disbelief of gods and any other claim that aren't supported by reason and evidence.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. We're here to develop and support the atheist community and encourage positive atheist culture.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm glad you got that part right too. You got a lot of stuff right. There are those who worship and depend on God in their everyday life, and to know there is an organization trying to refute that the being of God is utterly disappointing. Okay.
You know, like alcoholics are disappointed in sobriety programs.
Yeah.
We're disappointed that you believe in such things.
I'm sure it is disappointing.
We're disappointed that there's a huge world-spanning religion that believes in that kind of crap.
I'm disappointed that some of these religions try to encroach upon the rights and freedoms of other people, claw their way into the schools to poison the education of our youth, hide pedophile priests away and shuffle them to different, you know.
I don't know that I could say disappointed, because that means that at some point I had an expectation of them being able to do better.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that not all religions are like that, and not all religions are like that all the time. So I think there is a reasonable expectation that people could still have these unsupported beliefs and not carry with them the negative baggage that we see. There's still going to be some, because there's an irrationality involved. So yeah, I'm a little disappointed. Denying the existence of God is saying this world is the work of some other being, and this is not the case.
Wow, that couldn't be more wrong.
Well, you're wrong, and you're right. This is not the case. But denying the existence of God is not saying the world is the work of some other being.
Right.
Actually... We pretty much are convinced that it's the work of natural processes.
More than that, if you believed that it was the work of something, of another being, presumably that being would be a god, which would make you not an atheist. So this guy is very unclear on the concept.
Yeah, he seems to think that atheists only deny his god.
No, yeah, we believe...
But believe other ones.
You know, we don't believe that it was created by God. We just believe it was created by some other omnipotent universe-creating being.
Yes.
Yeah, right. That makes a lot of sense.
My trans... dimensional universe building pixies.
Maybe he Name thinks Phil. That the flying spaghetti monster is.
Yeah, I wonder if he. But anyway, atheists choose not to accept God.
No.
Some people might buy that. I refute that wholeheartedly because I don't believe that any belief is truly a choice. I don't think you can choose to believe anything. I think your beliefs are the result of the thought processes, and they're dictated by your ability to distinguish fact from fiction and what criteria you use to make that determination.
Yeah. I believe a lot of things. I believe I'm sitting at a computer right here. I believe I'm sitting on a chair. And God does not meet the evidentiary standards that everything else that I believe exists has met.
I believe you can choose to act as if you believe.
Oh, sure.
And I believe that you can even, in doing so for so long, possibly even convince yourself that you do actually believe. But as far as a simple choice, I think that's oversimplified and invalid. But we evidently, according to Tristan, we choose not to accept God because we believe that we make our own destiny.
I do believe I make my own destiny.
Not entirely.
Yeah, for the most part. And that trusting in prayer and having dependence on God is not how they want to live. Okay.
But his order is absolutely backwards.
Yeah.
We don't disbelieve in God because of self-reliance. We have self-reliance because we're not passing the buck to some invisible friend.
Yeah, we maintain the self-reliance that we did have previous, and we, you know, it's not...
Besides, aren't guys like this always saying that self-reliance is a good thing? What the hell happened to personal responsibility?
Yeah. I have news for you. No matter how much they talk about it, there's no such thing as personal responsibility in Christianity.
In a universe with a God.
They don't
That's lip service that they pay to each other because they know that in the practical reality, they have to take responsibility for their actions. But in an ultimate sense, there's no such thing as personal responsibility there.
That's right.
They're posturing.
It's all forgiven for them.
So, God is not how they want to live. Some believe God to be a mythical character.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't worry. He'll completely contradict that in a paragraph or two.
And others may have lost their faith and stopped believing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm in that category. I lost my faith. Actually, I excised my faith intentionally when I found out that faith is an entirely bankrupt concept and a completely useless tool for trying to distinguish fact from fantasy.
Yeah, and I never had it.
Yeah.
So.
And Russell didn't have it. I feel so sorry for my two friends who never knew faith.
That's right. We don't have the experience.
Well,
by the way, if you're not one of the cool people who gets to experience the chat room while listening live, you're missing out on a great debate about how Thor exists because you can't disprove him.
Nice.
Awesome. And well, one person has just conceded to me that I'm right. He does believe in Thor, but he just hates him.
Nah.
If Thor did not exist, we couldn't have our happy hour at the Dog and Duck.
That's right. There'd be no electricity.
Obviously. Well, there'd be no Thursday.
Yeah.
Or marriage.
Oh, good point. No Thursday, yeah.
Isn't it neat how those ancient gods managed to construct the universe such that our calendar
has their name?
Has their name fitted right in?
Weird.
I mean, it's
amazing. It's weird. Yes. That must be true.
Uh-huh.
All right. Atheism is a choice, and this philosophy wrong.
You're right.
Just like it's not an ideology. It's not a philosophy. It's not a dogma. It has no tenets. There's no organized body. There's no requirements. Everybody in this room who is an atheist is entitled to believe whatever they want on any number of things. It's just something. It's a label that you put on a lack of belief. You might have secular humanists. There could be communists, socialists, Democrats, Republicans, libertarians. You could be pro-life, pro-choice. You could have different positions on the death penalty. There is no uniform ideology that is necessarily tied to atheism. Atheism, as you generally run into it, at least within our organizations, is most often consistent with things like philosophical naturalism and mm-hmm. materialism, a reliance on science and evidence, things like that. But those... It's more along the lines that our atheism is perhaps a result of those philosophical positions than a cause of it. But in any case, they're consistent, and there is no atheist philosophy. And I don't care how much you think we worship, you know, Dawkins or whoever. When he's wrong, he's wrong.
Yeah.
So atheists, this philosophy of having no God. Boy, somebody's been talking to a friend of ours, but no names.
A philosophy of having no God is a pretty lame philosophy.
Diminishes the foundation on which our country was built.
Yeah, fuck freedom of conscience. This is just
this is the millionth time this lie has been uttered.
Yeah.
Trillionth time, perhaps.
Let me tell you what the foundation that our country was built on, Tristan. There were a number of people who were seeking slightly different versions of our country. Some were influenced by the German Freethought movement. Some were deists, theists, Christians, of all stripes, Puritans, Amish, whatever. And the first thing that, well, probably not the first thing, at some point it became clear that the best way to address these conflicting beliefs was to establish the world's first truly secular representative republic. And that way, by making sure that the government was secular, they could allow everyone the freedom of conscience to believe as they chose and ensure that my beliefs stop, or my beliefs can't affect your rights. My rights end where yours begin, and vice versa. And during those Constitutional Congress sessions, there were motions made and raised by some of the founders, by some of the framers of the Constitution, to inject specific language, specific mentionings of a god, or Jesus specifically. And in every single instance where one of those was raised, it's not like the founders forgot to put in a paragraph about we're a God-fearing nation. Mm-hmm. Every single time one of those was raised, it was voted down by the founders of our country. The framers of the Constitution didn't just, oops, well, we'll add it in here at the end as in the year of our Lord.
Right.
No, they specifically set up an article that there will be no religious test for government, for any government position or trust. Then in the Bill of Rights, they added the very first one, in addition to freedom of speech and press, freedom of religion. The Congress shall make no law to inhibit the freedom of individuals to exercise their religious rights, and shall not endorse a religion. And I butchered that. You'd think I'd have that thing fucking memorized by now. But and no endorsement of religion. And then when you go back and you read the documents from the founders, this thing wasn't ignored.
It was discussed. Shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof.
Thank you.
Right.
Yes.
Not to mention also, the first act of the Continental Congress was to abolish a law that existed where they held it that required a prayer before any governmental meeting. The first thing the Continental Congress did before they could meet was abolish that law.
Yeah, and if you read through the comments from the founders on what they were thinking, you know, there's quotes from people like Madison that are crystal clear that the only valid use of government with regard to religion is to settle disputes between religious organizations from a secular position,
right,
and to make sure that they do not show favoritism towards or derision against a religion or other.
And then you have Treaty of Tripoli. Right. And then beyond all of that, even if the country were founded on a specific form of Christianity, doesn't make it fucking right.
Yeah.
We've changed a hell of a lot that we were founded on.
Yeah, this country was founded on the idea that a black man is worth three-fifths of a white man. While I think our founders did a great job in a number of areas, let's stop sucking their dicks and putting words in their mouth. They did a good job. Not everything was perfect, and we're not bound. We're no more bound by the ideas of those men 2 centuries ago than we are by the Bronze and Iron Age people who wrote the book that you happen to believe in.
But, I mean, more than that, they didn't even write that you should be bound by what they said. What they did was construct a rules framework more than anything else.
Yeah, but if you're going to use the Founding Fathers, if you're going to respect them and use what they, you know, their intent to bolster your arguments, you better fucking get it right.
Yeah.
Because you're just lying in this article.
Yeah. I have a hard time believing that I understand. I don't have a hard time believing it. Some people just don't know this stuff. It's just incredibly disappointing that in this day and age, the lie that has been told often enough still goes repeated and unchallenged. Then there's the paragraph on Atheist Alliance International. Not much reason to comment on that other than to say thanks.
Yeah, cool.
You know, hey, I like what they do. You're right. Their goal was to establish strong democratic atheist organizations in every state and worldwide. You know why? Because
that's necessary. In general, most people who are atheists and start to see the problems that are happening around feel underrepresented, ignored, dismissed by their elected representatives.
Mm-hmm. Second-class citizens.
We are disregarded. And what exactly is wrong with establishing strong democratic atheist organizations, grassroots things that get things working? Oh, I think he's going to tell us what he thinks wrong with it.
Uh-huh.
He hopes this never happens because pushing the idea there is no God is morally and spiritually wrong.
Oh, boo-hoo.
Well, give your evidence for that.
Yeah, I reject your claim of spiritual and moral
I don't believe you.
Incorrectness because I think that, at least within my particular ethics and morals, that we have a moral obligation to educate people, encourage free inquiry, critical thinking, skepticism, demand evidence, demand that the highest standards of evidence and reasoned logical argument be used for everything that we're talking about. If somebody's going to make a claim about something, then it needs to be supported that way. I happen to think that that's the best way to go about, I don't know, building a society. Evidently you don't, but if you think we're morally and spiritually wrong, as we said, it's an opinion piece. We're glad they posted it, and it's your opinion.
Well, we could be spiritually wrong, but we're also wrong according to the rules of Simon Says.
Yes. Yeah, thank you. All right, the next one. Atheists know in their hearts there is a God.
Then he's calling his Bible a liar.
Yeah. I'm sorry, you don't get to tell me what I know in my heart.
Bible says the fool says in his heart there is no God.
Maybe he says it in his heart, but he really knows it in his heart.
That makes no fucking sense.
The thing is, there's another
Bible
quote.
Because how do you actually say something in your heart without believing it?
I don't know how you say something in your heart or know something in your heart, but there are conflicting verses. There are the atheists.
Well, you don't, actually, but it's a dumb figure of speech anyway.
But there's the verse the atheists have said in their heart, and then there's also the verse from Romans that says God's written his moral law in the hearts of every man so that no one is without excuse. And in that sense, which is what these particular evangelicals are pushing, we must. If we don't know that there's God, then that means their Bible's wrong. Hey, guess what, Christian? Your Bible is wrong in lots of places. And because we know there is a God, we work extra hard to endorse the notion that he doesn't exist.
Really? Why? Why would we do that?
He thinks we protest too much.
Well, you know, if I know he doesn't say this as an article, but it's skirting very close to the thing that we don't to the idea that, atheists say they don't believe in God, so they can continue sinning.
Oh, that's in here.
Whatever. Oh, it is.
Kind of.
Well, yeah. In that we don't want to believe in God because we don't want to follow his rules. That part is somewhere.
Yeah. Well, it may help some atheists get through life not worrying about Judgment Day, heaven and hell. But those who believe in God and the Bible know the truth.
Well, you know what? I think you're a Christian just so you can sin all you like and get away with it. Be forgiven.
You may be right.
Me, if I secretly believe there is a God, I would be stupid to deny it and deliberately put myself in danger of hellfire.
Yeah. I mean, if it was...
That would be silly.
You're absolutely right. If it was all about sinning, you just go ahead and sin. You repent, confess, blah, blah, blah. Hey, you're forgiven.
It's the Christians.
Yeah.
Who have the
out.
Want to get away with stuff.
Who aren't held responsible for their actions. And you know, if you're right and I go to hell, I'm being held responsible for my actions. And you're not.
Actually,
you're being treated like a little crazy person, not responsible for your actions. You're put in the asylum called heaven.
Yeah, I'm mostly with you there. If I end up in hell, for example, a Christian hell, I'm not convinced. I will be convinced that I will have been. I'll be punished for my actions, or
mostly
probably for my thoughts, because you know.
Right. I haven't done much in the way of actions.
While I'm sure I've broken a few commandments and done some, you know, sexually unusual things that their particular God would frown on.
But I mean, here's a dirty little secret.
The
Christian God does not rank any human actions as better or worse than another. once you've been forgiven. Because according to the doctrine of original sin,
yeah.
just by being human, you are already the worst thing you
That's
could
true.
Possibly be.
Yeah,
That's
the only
true.
Exception
and so, you know,
is apostasy.
This whining about you know, homosexuality or other sexual immorality, or some people say you can't drink.
Right.
Or whatever.
All this other stuff about
That's
sin.
All completely beside the point. It's a smokescreen, because when you come right down to it, what this guy's religion says is it doesn't matter a bit what you do. The only thing that matters in the end is if you
believe,
beg your invisible sky pixie not to count anything against you.
Right, to get that get out of hell free card.
Yeah, so it says it may benefit some atheists to get through life not worrying about Judgment Day, heaven and hell, but those who believe in God and the Bible know the truth. Here's the thing. There you go, using that K-N-O-W word again.
Uh-huh.
And flatly asserting that the people who, you know, who believe in God and the Bible know the truth. The truth isn't something that you assert. The truth is something that needs to be demonstrated. You need to actually give me a little bit more than I believe in God and the Bible, and therefore I know the truth. Because, you know, is it the truth that snakes talked and a man lived in the belly of a whale for 3 days? Was the earth entirely flooded?
Every other religion makes the same claim.
Yeah.
I know it's true.
Did languages really arrive at this Tower of Babel thing because some god got scared that we'd build a tower up to heaven? I mean, I mean, you know, which parts of the Bible are you going to say are true? And then, by the way, why – I still don't see what the concern is about this Bible as truth thing. I mean, anything in there that was true would have to be verified externally in order for us to know it's true.
Right.
It's like the people who make the claims that their Bible or their Quran or whatever their holy book is made these wonderful and brilliant predictions about scientific discoveries.
Mm-hmm.
And it's through this rather creative reinterpretation of the passage that they
occasionally
get
occasionally rewriting of it, as with
single
cell.
Occasional rewriting. But the thing is, despite the fact, let's say it was in there. Let's say there was a passage in the Bible that explicitly or almost explicitly
described DNA. Yeah,
We still had to discover it on our own, and if we hadn't, then that passage, the truth of that passage, couldn't have been verified, and it probably would have still been fairly senseless and meaningless to us, as it supposedly was until we discovered it. So, if the only use of your book is so that in hindsight you can go back and interpret passages to fit events and things, that's not really so much prophecy as it is revisionism.
Ad hoc.
Yeah. But so we're almost at the end of ripping Tristan's article apart. God is not mean and unfeeling spirit who seeks to harm the world, as some may believe.
Hey, he's right again.
Wait a minute. Who drowned the whole world?
Nobody.
Oh, okay. Good.
That never happened.
Wait a minute. Who sent his son down there to be executed?
Nobody.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Huh. Gosh, he's right. God is not a vengeful spirit.
However, the fictional character that Tristan believes in, I find to be a particularly mean and vengeful spirit. By the way, there's this passage in the Bible that describes him as vengeful and jealous.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes right around the same time that he's ordering the slaughter of other nations, including sticking swords into pregnant women to kill the fetuses inside so that there can be no survivors, and killing off the firstborn and flooding the earth.
Sure.
And, you know.
Yep.
John Tesh.
And if that's not good enough for you, he says he created evil.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mischief, though, in the newer translations, when you get like this.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I've created mischief.
He's not evil. He's Loki.
Cool.
Atheism.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Quick digression, but there was a recent post from Kafir Girl a month or two ago where she was dealing with one of these, the Quran is scientific.
Oh boy.
And one of the proofs they give is that it points out a mention in the Quran of cells.
Yeah.
Obviously, we hit that story here. Just stuck in there in a much, much later translation, because she went back and looked through all the other translations of the Quran, and none of them say cells.
Yeah.
Cool.
So the last bits.
So they do that too.
Atheism should not be embraced, because the last thing we need is more negative energy in our society. Let me tell you something.
Lose religion.
Drop your stupid hippie lingo about negative energy. The meaningless phrases aren't going to make your case any better. Granted, I don't think it's going to make it any worse. But if you're talking in a more metaphoric sense about strife and conflict and struggle and divisiveness, then I think you need to pick up a mirror, because atheism is not, well, it's first of all, it's not a philosophy, but there's nothing within it that is intrinsically divisive. It doesn't set up an us versus them in a right versus wrong sense. It's a position where we're not accepting your claim. We happen to disagree. We think you're wrong. And we see potential harm in there. We can identify this and point it out. What's divisive is the religious dogma that establishes we are right and just and loved by God, and you are evil and wicked and tools of Satan, and therefore you infidels must be destroyed.
And you deserve to burn forever in a lake of fire.
Well, I mean, there's nothing negative in atheism with the connotation that he's using. And then beyond that, even if there were, so? Cancer is considered negative in that sense, but we kind of do want to talk about it and bring it up and be aware of it.
The most negative thing that we represent is the idea that the theists are wrong, are misguided. That's the, we think you're a little, confused.
Delusional.
Stupid.
That's it. In many cases, stupid.
Not in all,
but,
though.
But that's it.
The Christians, on the
other hand, feel that we deserve, agree with their God, that we deserve to be tortured forever.
Yes. We love you more because we don't think you deserve to be tortured forever. We don't think that your natural urges are sinful and harmful. We don't think that thoughts should be considered a crime. We think that if people dealt with reality on reality's terms and engaged in good, open, honest conversations, that you could actually, and we have, develop moral principles and guidelines that are productive, that encourage a cooperative society. And the fact of the matter is that your religion has been dragged kicking and screaming from its immoral past into a more moral present by the influence of secular morals and principles and a cooperative society. Just because you don't share the same extremist backward views that your ancestors did, or that some fundamentalists still do, doesn't mean you have the moral high ground. It just means that you're now posturing, that you've reinvented your religion in a much more palatable way. It doesn't make your belief any more true, and it certainly doesn't mean you're more moral or ethical. The last paragraph, and then we're done. Dependence on God is how individuals cope with problems of the world, and having committees or alliances trying to dispel their beliefs shouldn't be allowed. God does exist, and it's up to each individual to accept him.
No. Well, could we say it's how weak-willed individuals deal with the...
I don't necessarily know. I mean, maybe weak-willed is valid, but anybody can have, a moment of weakness or whatever. Mm-hmm. I agree. Dependence on God is how some individuals cope with the problems of the world.
He didn't say some.
Yeah,
so
he didn't say some, but I'm adding some, and obviously he doesn't believe that it's true for everybody. Yeah.
Now, is he saying that all the people who appeal to their God for help in troubled times, is he saying that all the gods are real? All the different mutually contradictory gods
are real? No, I'm pretty
sure
he's convinced that it's just his.
Or is he saying that everyone else appeals to gods, but they're wrong?
Yeah. But the thing is that, relying on a God, quite frankly, I'm not convinced that there's nearly as many people who rely on a God quite as much as Tristan would hope. I think there are people who rely on the social group that they've built up in a particular church. They rely on the idea of God in order to take their mind off of things. This whole notion of an intercessory a God who will intercede, that answers prayer, that can help you sort out problems, that is somehow constantly meddling in your life, is something that, while I understand can be comforting and possibly useful, I think is damaging because it prevents you from dealing reality on its own terms.
Now, you know what I use to take my mind off, you know, troubles and stuff like that?
Scotch?
You know, Battlestar Galactica, a game, talking with people, going out for lunch, you know.
Drinking.
Stuff like that. Drinking. I drink to forget.
Well, that's the thing is that, you know, it's one of the reasons why we've come up against Alcoholics Anonymous so many times. There are better solutions. Mm-hmm. Secular sobriety, for example. Because what Alcoholics Anonymous does right from the get-go, and the same thing with Narcanon and some others, is even if they're not actively promoting the Christian religion, their ideas are extremely consistent with it, which is that you are weak and helpless, and this is a problem. The first thing you have to do is recognize that this is a problem that you can't overcome by yourself. You need to find and reach out to
God,
a higher power.
I can't wrap my mind around that.
It's not true. It may be a problem that you can beat by yourself. It also may be that if you're having difficulty beating it by yourself, that the hand that you need to reach out to is not an invisible one that you can't touch that somebody made up thousands of years ago, but instead the hand of a friend or a family member or someone else who's been through that situation who can help you, you know, find ways to cope. And then, you know, granted, we don't have enough statistics on this, but I'd like to think that when you give people the tool set to deal with reality without the cop-out of saying, oh, I can't handle it, God, please help me, that they then are more likely to become more stable and not revert. And this last thing is that trying to alliances and committees that are trying to dispel the beliefs of others shouldn't be allowed. That's bullshit.
Yes.
Welcome to the United States of America.
What was the whole World War II about?
I do believe that Christians do more of that than anyone.
Yeah, I mean, you're trying to dispel my disbelief.
What are you doing when you go around door to door, not mindful of who you might be preaching to? I mean, is it Jews? Is it Mormons? Is it, you know, anybody who doesn't follow your religion? You're trying to get rid of their belief.
Hey, I'll make you a deal. I will stop talking about what I find wrong with your particular religion, and I will stop pushing objections up to your religion. I will stop actively doing things that are keyed on encouraging disbelief of your religion. If you will completely stop trying to promote your religion in any way, shape, or form, including voting for and enacting legislation that is based on your biblical principles that is then pushed onto other people. As soon as you stop doing that, I got no more need to talk about.
Yeah.
You are entitled to believe whatever kind of crazy stuff you want in your own head.
I don't. Because there are lots of other harmful beliefs that don't try to legislate themselves into reality, and I still talk against them. I mean, you know.
But I'm not making a deal to stop talking about those. You know, we'll switch the focus.
If Christianity just becomes as harmless as them, I will still bitch about Christianity as much as about them.
All right, fair enough. We'll rescind the deal.
But
Never mind, I'm going to, yeah.
My bitchiness level will be in proportion to the damage that you do.
Right.
Right.
We don't spend a lot of time talking too much about, you know, horoscopes in the newspaper.
Right.
I did, however, get a fortune cookie the other day when I went out for lunch, and it was empty.
Cool.
So either I am the captain of my own ship, making my own destiny, or I'm going to kick the bucket any day.
One of my favorite Simpsons bits, when Homer is thinking about having an affair, and he gets a fortune cookie while having dinner with this woman. It says, "You will find happiness in a new love." And he says, "Oh, no, even the fortune cookies are against me." And then in the back room they show, "Hey, we're out of all the... You will find happiness in a new love fortune cookies. Oh, okay, open the stick with your wife barrel."
All right, so thus ends our...
quick rundown on the comments.
Wow.
Yeah.
At their website. They're long, so I won't read them thoroughly, but Sarah says, "You have no business writing in a university-level newspaper, even in the opinion section." Tiffany says...
Yeah, there was some awkward phrasing in some of that.
What? Okay. Tiffany just goes through and rebuts several things. Alex wrote a letter complaining to the newspaper about this person and then came and posted his letter. Ben was so appalled by the article that he also wrote a letter to the was going to write a letter to the editor, but then found the comments. And as long as someone recognizes how erroneous this is and has stated so, I'll bite my tongue. And then goes through to rip it to shreds.
Good.
Agnes says the only people who would have a problem with this article are those who are atheists, of course, to criticize someone's writing ability in the university paper because the writer stepped on a few toes is ridiculous. Then two Christians immediately follow up saying, I'm not an atheist and I had a problem with the article. That about sums it up.
Cool.
Well, it was hackneyed and very poorly written. I can't think of any alternative that I've ever seen in any university newspaper. So it's just kind of, you know...
The resident cynic.
Bogey for course.
All the rest of the shit in those papers sucks, so why hack on him for that? Actually, why should we critize? Is that like rolling a natural 20 or something?
Ooh.
I mean, we should criticize his ability to write, but you can't really blame the not necessarily blame the editor for printing such a shit article, because he has to choose the least shit.
Yeah,
that's great.
Oh, no. And quite frankly, if I were the editor and I received that, I'd have fucking printed that thing.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For the exact reason of what's happened.
Yeah.
It's perfect. Here's somebody who seems to be, probably to most Christians, reasonable, sincere, intelligent, have a decent understanding. He used, you know, a fairly accurate description of what atheism is, and then completely showed that he really didn't understand as he contradicted himself and set up just fallacy after fallacy.
Yep.
Right.
But, you know,
if anything, isn't that what university newspapers are for? Yeah. I mean, you know, these people are
you're
in
the
university.
The
yes, they're not, you know, they're not seasoned newsmen yet, and
that's
it's
right.
Better to write something idiotic early on in your career than to go through and be
right-wing shill? I'm sorry. Oh, sorry.
But one would hope.
Who's that idiot in the New York Times now? I mean,
I don't know.
But I mean,
I'm sure somebody in the chat room will.
There are
tons
of idiots in you know, at least some of them might have a chance to learn that they're idiots early on and either improve or pick another trade.
I should have used American Idiot for today's theme song. I didn't know we were going to be used. But anyway, that's that. What else have we got?
Oh, well, unfortunately, the legal case against God has been dismissed.
Yeah, and I'm kind of ticked about this.
Yeah, I am too. A U.S. judge has thrown out a case against God, ruling that because the defendant has no address, legal papers cannot be served. Now, wait a minute. I thought that God was supposed to be omnipresent. That means any address will do.
Oh, I just remembered. It's Bill Kristol I was talking about. The guy who ridiculed the idea that the Sunnis and Shias might not get along.
The suit was launched by Nebraska State Senator Ernie Chambers, who said he might appeal against the ruling. I hope he does.
He's not exactly the guy we want.
No, but still.
He's fucking crazy.
It's interesting. He sought a permanent injunction to prevent the death, destruction, and terrorization caused by God. Judge Marlon Polk said in his ruling that a plaintiff must have access to the defendant for a case to proceed. Again, God's omnipresent. Access is always there.
Maybe I'm too precise and anal. I hate everything about this.
Really?
I do.
Why?
Here's the thing. Going back to the show that Tracy and I did a few weeks ago, where the single two-word expression, God exists, and we talked about how neither is adequately defined. This guy, to my knowledge, hasn't defined God. But the comments are such that, well, if it's God, he's omnipresent. Well, says who? Which God are we talking about? And not even, I mean, you know, not even all Christians buy into the various omnis. What difference does it make what his address is? He's also supposedly, as long as we're talking about that God, omniscient, so he should know he's being served.
Well, he's obviously talking about the one that does death, destruction, and terrorization.
Which one of the ones that does death, destruction, and terrorization?
Chime in, Lee.
The one that guides the hurricanes into the cities.
You got to get close to the mic, but you can chime in.
Yeah. Well, I've heard Ernie Chambers interviewed over the case. Uh-huh. And, you know, part of his argument is that it's the biblical God. He makes references to the Bible in the case.
Okay.
And he says because he is omniscient, as soon as he filed the papers, he knew. And because he's omnipresent.
He's been served.
You know? Because he's omnipresent, he will be there in court.
He could go to a church in his neighborhood.
He knows all that stuff.
Okay.
Cool.
So, I don't think you can get away with that because I don't believe that God would be an American citizen.
It doesn't matter. You don't have to sue an American citizen. But the thing is that I think it was tossed out on the wrong grounds anyway. It's not that this.
Yeah.
It should have been tossed out on the grounds that the, I can't remember, the redressable. There's nothing here that's redressable. They can't, because God is omnipotent, they can't enforce their laws upon him.
Have they tried?
How would you know
you couldn't if you haven't tried?
What would be the point of trying to enforce your will on an omnipotent being?
Maybe he'll agree to abide by your rules.
And the thousands and thousands of people who pray every day haven't been able to convince him? Please, God, please don't let my baby die. Please, God, please help, stop letting people starve.
Hey, God isn't
can you aim your tornado closer to the gays next time instead of our part of the city?
You know, God isn't ruled by... This would be an official justice system declaration, not just an appeal. It would be, okay, you have to go to prison, according to our
but
court.
But, see, God's already in prison.
One reason I'm really looking forward to...
A lot of people go there to find him.
God being omnipresent might lend him diplomatic immunity.
One reason I'm really looking forward to the Watchmen movie is because it's going to provide... If it's popular, it's going to provide another shared metaphor that I can use easily. There's a guy in the movie who is the only one with actual superpowers, and his superpowers make him damn near omniscient. And the day he becomes omniscient, he essentially stops giving a shit about anybody. And so, it's not that he's evil or anything like that. He just ceased to care about what humans want out of him.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, I find the case kind of amusing. Obviously, no matter what happened, nothing good's going to come out of this.
Well, his point is apparently... he filed the suit to make the point that anyone can sue anyone else, even God.
See,
at least that's what he says.
I'd much rather he sued...
Yeah, from the beginning, that was his intention, was, he didn't like all the frivolous lawsuits.
Right.
So he decided to come up with a high-profile frivolous lawsuit and take it to court to try to get, I think it's in Illinois, to try to get the Illinois courts to put more restrictions on...
frivolous lawsuits.
Right. Hmm.
Well, in this case, I think the problem with the frivolous lawsuits isn't that anybody can sue anybody. It's that anybody can apparently sue anybody over anything. Mm-hmm. I think that anybody should be able to sue anybody, but we need to restrict what issues are actionable. You know, you don't want to get to a point where, he called me an idiot. I'm suing him. You are an idiot.
Well, I don't know that there are additional lines we could draw that we haven't already drawn that would appropriately take care of that. I think it's fine having some frivolous cases get dismissed. I don't see a problem with them starting the suit and it being dismissed. I think that will fix a lot of it. Rather than try to come up with some criterion for a particular type of suit.
Essentially, you're saying that this action of the court system, making it open and accessible to everybody... even in the case of frivolous suits, is a good thing, such that if we were to limit it just so that we're not wasting court's time with stuff, that would be bad and would perhaps
it would
discourage people from taking action that they should.
Yeah, it would chill.
Right.
Yeah.
It would have a chilling effect, and it would also disallow some potentially valid lawsuits. Like, he called me an idiot. How do you police that without diminishing the enforcement of libel and slander laws?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Because, there aren't many – you hear about frivolous cases, but usually you hear about them in a sensationalized sense when they aren't frivolous, like the McDonald's coffee suit. It was a perfectly legitimate lawsuit.
And he who shall not be named, tried to sue on behalf of a bumper sticker.
Yeah. And he's done a lot of frivolous lawsuits, and judges just laugh at him and throw him the hell out of the courtroom. I think that's how we should go about it.
Okay. Another story here about the peaceful religions here. Riots have broken
out
in the mixed city of Acre, reportedly triggered when an Israeli Arab man drove his car during the Yom Kippur religious holiday.
You know, Obama's an Arab man. Sorry.
Stop that. Dozens of cars and shops were damaged as hundreds of people took to the streets. For Jews, Yom Kippur is a somber day of fasting during which it is considered offensive to drive in much of Israel. The Arab man was reportedly attacked by youths who said he was making noise intentionally.
The two youths, Your Honor.
Youths.
What is a ute exactly?
Most of Israel comes to a standstill on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the holiest day in the Jewish calendar. Streets are deserted except for a few pedestrians, cyclists, and skateboarders during the 25-hour fast, which this year began on Wednesday. The unrest erupted around midnight local time, with hundreds of people pouring into the streets as news spread of the alleged assault. A crowd gathered on Ben Amar Street, a key commercial street in the city, and caused extensive damage to vehicles and property and large-scale Jewish-Arab rioting. At least gay. So, yeah, it's because somebody drove his car on that day. It's, I guess you're not supposed to do any work. Is that the deal?
Isn't being the shit out of a guy work?
I would think so.
You think? I guess rioting isn't considered work. I don't know. Just weird.
Maybe rioting is leisure.
You know, next Yom Kippur, I'm going to drive through that neighborhood with like a stereo blast and like Marilyn Manson or something.
Yeah.
Just,
and or Prussian we'll Blue.
Prussian Blue. No, I don't want to I'm not masochistic enough to punish myself with that. Prussian Blue, for those who don't get the reference, you can find it on Google. They thought I was going to tell them.
I do want to hit on the Little Big Planet story, though.
Okay.
Because that's one that I think people are overreacting to.
Okay. What is this?
Sony is coming out with a PlayStation 3 game called Little Big Planet. It's very much like family-friendly, wholesome-ish type of game. And it was supposed to come out, I think, this week. And they've delayed it because one song on the soundtrack has two references to the Quran. Like two little snippets from the Quran. And so they've delayed it worldwide so they can fix it, which is going to cost them a shit ton of money. Now, on the one hand, I do think it's a little absurd and a little overcorrecting to go that far for two lines from the Quran. On the other hand, there are a lot of people crying censorship. How dare you succumb to the will of these evil Muslims and all the usual, generally conservative shit you tend to hear. And one, who says it's to appease the Muslims? I mean, quotes from the Quran could piss off a lot of Christians too. And then two, they're aiming for a family-oriented game. There's no harm with them choosing to withhold their product so they can make it more in line with what they want. And I don't like it when people compare it as they are to, like, the Danish cartoons. Something like that, where they were being suppressed by a separate entity. Self-censorship is just fine.
And I censor myself every Sunday. I censor myself for 90 minutes every Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, they're a private company, and they are under no obligation to do something that they think would hurt their profits or endanger their company.
Yeah.
You can attempt to hurt them back. I mean, if they're afraid of Muslims hurting their business, then it doesn't...
Well, I really don't think that would be the fear.
There's nothing wrong with pushing back by saying, hey, we'll hurt your business, so decide who you care more about. But I don't think it's censorship.
I don't think it's fear of Muslims hurting them. I think it's partially not wanting to offend anyone, regardless of their religion, with these verses. And largely, that on that platform, they're kind of struggling in the family-friendly area. And so if they can avoid any semblance of controversy, that's what they want to do. So they might just want to dodge any air of controversy, even if it doesn't hurt them financially on that game, just so they can have something family-friendly and wholesome. But it's kind of one of those things where self-censorship, it's their company. If they want to do that, that's fine, and people should stop bitching about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or we'll boycott you for boycotting. No, wait.
Next. Next. We got. You ever notice how
No.
The creationists and Christians and stuff just don't understand the concept of conflict of interest. I see that.
Yeah, they understand it. They're just for it.
They're just for it, right. And apparently the...
They view conflict of interest as an example of their expertise on the matter.
Yeah, the Texas State Board of Education has a committee...
I'm not going to like this story.
Three scientists and three creationists... And they're going to be voting on, you know, they're going to be deciding what textbooks are being used in Texas. And I think it's two of the creationists are the authors of one of the books that's up for evaluation.
Here's the thing. This independent committee of teachers and scientists put together the science curriculum proposal. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. I was thrilled and encouraged. It was right in the front page of the newspaper. They have finally gotten rid of that stupid language in there about teaching the controversy. And they have established science standards so that religious ideas will not be taught in a science classroom. The new science standards that are proposed are, for the most part, some of the most perfect and beautiful that I've read when it comes to public education. And then they've got this new committee, which is going to be reviewing these to determine what their recommendation is for the vote that's coming up, I think, in January. And in fairness, getting three creationists and three evolutionists, I mean, it's an attempted balance. But if we were going to be reasonable about this, you'd have about 99 evolutionists and one creationist to discuss this. Because what we're talking about here is science and what should and shouldn't be taught as science.
Yeah.
And the fact that they managed to get a couple people who wrote these intelligent design books. We've still got some work to do before January.
Well, I don't know. I think the inclusion of creationists intentionally is outright wrong. That would be like trying to decide how to teach medicine for a course, and you get three doctors, or like three oncologists, and three guys with cancer. I mean, only one group
has three guys with cancer. This is three witch doctors.
We're teaching geography with three geographers and three flat earthers.
We can do this all day, folks.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got four astronomers and four astrologers.
That's right.
To try and determine whether or not Pluto should be considered a planet.
And the three astrologers wrote a book on astrology that's being evaluated.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Right.
Well, that might work to our benefit, though.
Conflict of interest.
If they have one of the creationists as an author of the book, odds are decent if enough fuss is made over it, he'll have to sit out the vote there, and we'll be left with three scientists and two idiots. So you won't have to worry about the tie.
I don't know that these people are actually doing the voting anyway. It's the school board that's going to vote, and hopefully what we can do, and I know the Texas Freedom Network is involved in this, is get the word out to people who care. I don't care if you're an atheist, Christian, creationist, whatever. If you care about good science education, if you care that students are going to get a proper 21st century science education, doesn't matter to me that you believe that God created everything. That's something that you're entitled to teach at home. You can teach them at Sunday school. You can teach them whatever you want, just not in the public schools where other people's kids are too. There they get taught science. If you want to inject something else additionally afterwards, I feel incredibly sorry for your kids, and I hope that they enjoy flipping burgers, but you can do that. Not that there's anything wrong with flipping burgers. I've flipped flipped burgers many times.
Let's see. In what I guess is a signal that the end days are coming, there was a post on Ferengula that alerted me to a YouTube video of a creationist apologizing.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Well, you know, when you're threatened with legal action and you've broken laws that might put you in jeopardy, apologies start coming out like rainwater.
Yes. Yes,
you
apparently.
Know, I watched that video, and you know what I was most reminded of?
What?
Fish Called Wanda, Kevin Kline holding John Cleese out the window by his ankles.
Yes,
while
getting
John Cleese goes,
that's perfect.
I apologize for any imprecation on your character, and anything that I said was completely false and unwarranted.
Right, as he's hanging upside down, stories above the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was that. But I went then and looked at Thunderfoot's videos. That's the evolutionist,
right,
who was refuting Venom Fang X's creationist claptrap. And I think
Cool Dude 69 yeah. was in there somewhere.
And this was
too.
A duel, I guess, held on YouTube.
Right.
Go look at Thunderfoot's videos. They're actually pretty damn cool.
Yeah. This has come up a lot where, you know, sorry, I hate to keep, you know, narrowing the focus or lumping everybody into one group, but Christians, some of them, have used completely unethical tactics where they just flat out lie and make accusations about, you know, digital copyright violations and things yep. in order to get down, get videos that they consider to be offensive or contentious taken down. YouTube is hopefully getting to the point where they stop caving because, quite frankly, now that they're owned by Google and Google's motto is don't be evil, I'd like to think that they support free speech and that they recognize the evil of trying of having a forum where people can talk and express their opinions and how evil it is to come in and say, no, we're a majority, we're offended, we're going to complain, so you need to take that down. If I was running Google, my answer would be tough shit.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've already got GodTube. And by the way, we're not prohibiting you from posting up video responses and saying, I disagree with this video and here's why. Or, I think this video is offensive and here's why. I'm sure there are tons of Christians who find me incredibly offensive. And sometimes, they're probably right. Sometimes I'm intentionally offensive in order to kind of, you know, stir some people up. Mm-hmm. I don't make an apology for that, but it's not like I sit around here and come in and rattling off just nothing but curse words and attacks on Christians with no substance behind it. We're talking about real harm that's done here. We're talking about the rights and freedoms of individuals to express things and what kind of decisions we're going to be making and how we're going to make those decisions because they affect everybody.
Right. And like
right
now,
got to share this place.
Right now, isn't there an age tag now on the Eucharist desecration videos on YouTube?
That's what the Catholic League was mm-hmm. pushing for. I don't
right.
know if they got it.
I think they already did it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. And so, you know, have to be 18 to view these videos, and that's bullshit.
Bill Donahue is an asshat of
he's an asshat.
Unparalleled proportions.
Maybe he should work a little harder on keeping the priest's bishop out of rectories than worrying about what's on YouTube.
He said rectories.
But it just drives. I mean, maybe if you think about it for a second, let's say we're roommates. Don't we have to come up with cooperative rules so that we both can enjoy living here? Why is it that just because, you know, if we're roommates, just because you happen to think that you need to burn sandalwood and put crosses all over the wall, that you should be allowed to if it interferes? Maybe I'm allergic to sandalwood. You know? Maybe I just don't enjoy it and don't want to live there. Why can't, you know?
Yeah.
Or maybe, you know, why is it that that you feel that you can impose upon, you know, you don't get to use hot water during the day because I think we're not supposed to be using hot water. And God told me we're not supposed to be using hot water until after sundown, so you can't. Screw you and your God, I'm taking a shower. I mean, how hard is this to understand? I got nothing else to say. Fuck mm-hmm. it. What else do we have left?
Oh.
Any emails?
Yeah, some emails.
It seems a very large number of people.
While you're looking up an email.
God lawsuit thing. But
yeah, but we've talked about
so
it.
So we don't need to read all those
right.
emails.
Just to throw out, when we're going to Hell House next Saturday, if anyone in the Dallas area wants to get together, just send an email to nonprofits. And what we can do is we can get your phone number or something like that, call you when we're about an hour out, and you can meet us there and we can have a large group. Because if we get enough atheists there together, then we can go through in our own group rather than coupled with, you know, 30 12-year-old Baptist girls.
Although, wow, when I've got on, you know, my God is just pretend T-shirt or my creationism shirt, standing around a group of 12-year-old Baptist girls really amuses me because they get this look on their face like, you know,
yeah,
he's one of those. Yeah, I'm the one your mother warned you about, little girl. Run! Run, woman! Welcome to Halloween!
Your mother saw
his mother.
I'll go with the
darn
sarnet.
Socks.
The
darn sarnet. Socks in hell.
Your mother sews socks that smell.
Well, we got a letter from Jeff. Here's an email I got sent to me by someone in my family. The absolute ignorant belief that our country was founded on Christian principles, and somehow as an atheist I'm supposed to feel like I don't belong here. It is so difficult because these people that think like this are my family and friends, and more every day I feel like they are living on a different planet. I don't even know how to talk to them anymore. I don't deny their right to pray, but this should not happen at a secular event like sporting events at public schools. And what follows is a email, I guess, sent around to Christians talking about having prayers before football, you know, school football games. And it's full, you know, it reads like the article you wrote, except even more ignorant. And it tries to be even-handed. It says, if I went to a football game in Jerusalem, I would expect to hear a Jewish prayer. If I went to a soccer game in Baghdad, I would expect to hear a Muslim prayer. And blah, blah, blah. And it says,
because
and
maybe those
be offended.
Countries aren't secular.
It wouldn't bother me one bit. When in Rome. But what about the atheists? It's another argument. What about them? Nobody is asking them to be baptized. Actually, some are. We're not going to pass the collection plate. Actually, you do. You take my tax money. And it gets funneled to faith-based initiatives. Just humor us for 30 seconds. If that's too much, bring a Walkman or a pair of earplugs. Go to the bathroom. Visit the concession stand. They apparently can't see how unflaggingly arrogant that is.
Here's an idea. If, you know, he wants us to do other things during their prayer, then how about we start playing our music nice and loud, or having rude conversations, or calling them delusional morons?
We
I mean,
do
you
that.
Know, I, you normally when somebody's praying, I stand quietly and allow them to.
Well, I find it amusing that he uses the phrase "when in Rome."
Yeah,
because this isn't fucking Rome.
Yeah,
if I go to Vatican City to an event, I'm not gonna bitch if they pray.
Yeah, if I walk into your church, I'm gonna sit there nice and quiet while you pray and not say a word. If we're in a public place that's both of ours, I'll probably still go ahead and humor you. But I have an objection to it. And when you're doing it as part of an official thing that is in any way endorsed or sponsored by or paid for by my tax dollars, I got a legitimate gripe.
Yeah. And they say, you know, our parents and grandparents taught us to pray before eating, to pray before we go to sleep. Our Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. Now a handful of people and their lawyers are telling us
your
to cease praying.
Your goddamn grandmother isn't here. Fuck you.
Why don't you listen to your Bible? Why don't you stay home and pray without ceasing? Please. Pray. Don't stop.
In your closet.
Every time, yes.
Please, as the Bible says.
When I was in high school was when they passed I think it was a circuit court. It was a Supreme Court. Passed a law against prayer at football games.
Right.
And the case started in Texas. So after they passed that law at our football games, the local churches would bring up these huge trucks and have like little snacks and crap. And they'd get all the people who were going to the football game to go out into the street next to the stadium and get snacks. And they read from the Bible, and then they'd all pray and have this big little, you know, Jesus fest right before the game. And they were interviewed by the media, and they were saying, well, you know, we're here to defy this law. This law needs to be overturned, and we're here to break it so that to show that we're not going to back down. And if anything, this has made us stronger because this kind of grouping is much better than anything we had before. What they were doing was perfectly legal and the way it's supposed to be done. They were doing it on their own, not using a school event, not using the school paid for PA systems, none of that. They were doing exactly what the law that they were objecting to was right. saying they should do.
Right.
And having the fucking gall to say that it's even better and not realize it.
There's a guy who almost every Sunday afternoon takes up the where 11th Street and Congress yeah. meet. He takes up that front area that's right in front of the Capitol, and he does with a PA system and a keyboard and some flags, a Christian service musical thing out there right in front of the Capitol building every Sunday. I have never objected to it. I will never object to it. He's within his rights. That ground is open to whoever reserves it. We have used it for National Day of Reason. He can do that. I object to what he's actually saying on an intellectual basis. And sure, I'd love to actually debate him, but he's within his rights, and I have no complaint about that at all. However, when you walk up towards the Capitol building, you'll find that Ten Commandments monument that the Supreme Court Justice Breyer invented a grandfather clause for that one so it can stay while the Kentucky one had to go.
Right.
That I do have an objection to.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's not like we're trying to steal hope away from people or force people to change and give up their religious views. We're just saying, look, we're in the areas where we need to coexist, can we at least, coexist? Can you at least kind of keep your religion out of that? Quit trying to make it such an imposition on everybody else? I'd rather, that you made decisions for good reasons, but, if you're going to do it for bad reasons.
I don't have high enough hopes for religious people to think that they'll ever actually understand the significance of secularism. But at least maybe once in a while they could recognize when they're taking advantage of it. They could recognize when secularism is benefiting them. But they yeah. never fucking do.
And let's see, Robin brings up a correction.
Good.
On a recent nonprofit show, you talked about a case of a 15-year-old boy being arrested by the City of London police and charged with offensive behavior for demonstrating outside the Church of Scientology using a placard calling them a cult. Several things to point out. One, the City of London police should not be confused with the Metropolitan Police, who are the actual police force for Greater London. The City of London police are a small force policing the historical City of London, the area mostly comprising historical tourist attractions, and the financial district, itself now being revealed as a more sinister and dangerous cult than anything the Scientologists could come up with.
That makes them sound more like park rangers without yes. much legal authority.
The Metropolitan Police haven't been involved in cases like this and are generally quite good, aside from shooting the occasional innocent Brazilian. The case was immediately thrown out by the Crown Prosecution Service, with the police in question being heavily criticized.
Which I thought we pointed out.
Crown Protection Service pointed out that the law covered placards and public displays, which would be considered generally offensive. It was not enough that the person being protested to would be offended. Three, the Church of Scientology has been apparently courting the City of London police for years with donations, helping with fundraising, etc., and some officers have been somewhat naive in accepting their assistance and praising them for it. So, cool. Thank you for the update.
Yeah.
The correction.
I'm glad we didn't screw anything up too horribly.
Yeah.
Which is always a risk.
Yes. Well, that's... the risk we've agreed to take.
If it weren't for the fact that we've all taken Russell's advice, in Russell's lecture that he did for the ACA recently, he said one of the things that you need to do if you're going to have arguments, the first thing you need to do is to know everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've taken great yeah. pains to make sure that we know everything.
And on a personal note, I'd like to make a shout out for Richard Garriott, who is now orbiting the Earth in the International Space Station.
No shit.
My old boss at Origin Systems. Yay.
I've met him.
Uh-huh.
I don't know him like you do.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
He's carrying out some scientific experiments up there.
But quite frankly,
like it's pretty cool.
I'm happy for him and everything else, but it's an obscene display of wealth. I think I would have put to other use. But I'm sure he does plenty of good things.
Hey,
too.
He put a lot of space scientists and engineers and stuff like that to work.
Yeah.
But still.
For people who don't know Richard Garriott that well as Lord British in the Ultima series with his ridiculously ostentatious house that has like stone sculptures
and secret passageways. Like
yes. But then when I think about it, the very first Ultima game was a fantasy game which eventually got you in a spaceship. So this is just a continuation.
And wasn't his dad an astronaut?
Yes. He's I think, the first American, maybe the first American second-generation astronaut.
That's nifty.
So, yeah, that's cool.
I was going to say something.
I watched the liftoff, and it was creepy how small the rocket was.
I know what I was going to say. Let me preface this
what's that?
By saying that this is in no way an endorsement of anybody or a rejection of anybody. But I, like P.C. Myers and Phil Plait, have become increasingly annoyed at one particular candidate's constant dismissal of planetariums and referring to a $3 million overhead projector. Just to set the record straight, this is not an overhead projector.
No.
This is a precision instrument for displaying the motion of planets. And quite frankly, and I'll say this in order to be fair, I'm pretty pissed off that Obama did not address this with a little more authority and say, look, yeah, I did it, and I'd do it again. I would gladly spend $3 million to fulfill our constitutional obligation to support and promote science and art, to provide funding to a community center like a planetarium that can promote tourism, that does spark interest in the minds of our future astronauts, astrophysicists. I would gladly do that.
Yep.
It's not an overhead projector, you anti-science dolt.
Yep.
But, you know, in fairness, I'm not particularly thrilled with anybody or endorsing anybody.
Yeah.
But I'll point out anti-science stuff wherever I can. It's just really frustrating. And the thing is that I don't necessarily think that McCain is anti-science in the way that some people are portraying him. I think that was a particular tact, a political tact that was right along his lines. I don't know that anybody's really anti-science. Well,
he's obviously putting it forth as, oh, this is pork, and everybody will look, oh, $3 million for a planetarium? No. Oh, yeah.
You spend $50 million on a toilet seat? Yeah, but it's orbiting the fucking planet. This thing is to overhead projector as Hubble is to kids' telescope.
Yeah.
Spyglass.
And people don't understand, you know, like the space program. They don't understand the space program. We're not shoveling tons of money into, you know, rockets and sending it off into the sun. I mean, it's paying for a whole lot of scientific development, engineering expertise, and all this stuff.
Yeah, and
thousands of people, you know, are of technical people are being put to work building these rockets and stuff like that. It's good.
Fruits of these scientific investigation actually help us in daily lives, not only with regard to medicine, but hell, I got a pillow over there that wouldn't exist if it weren't for the.
Yeah, you like your microwaves?
I can't fault Obama much if it's simply a case of he wasn't prepared for that example to be thrown out. I don't know how often.
Okay,
this is
the third debate, and at least the second time it was brought up
was
in
it?
Debates.
Okay,
you should have been prepared.
Well, in that case, yeah.
Yeah, but let's wrap up.
All right. Okay, show's over, folks. But don't look so down in the dumps. The nonprofits will be back with another spectacular show. You don't have to go to the doctor for this prescription. You'll get another dose of Dennis Lube, Matt Dillahunty, Russell Glasser, and Schilling in just 2 weeks. Until then, sit back and listen to the calypso rhythms of Gnarls Barkley and Crazy.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of touch. But it wasn't because I didn't know enough. I just knew too. You're in control.